Okay. Let's come back in session. ELOC number 9. A. Consideration and approval of resolution approving amended partial release of judgment, amending resolution 8169.
So moved. Should,
so moved by Stan, second by Esri. There is a resolution, should be on your desk. Any discussion? We've talked about this previously. Tom?
The party is explaining my office has had a long-standing number of seats.
You want it? So you're recusing yourself.
Correct.
All right, Tom's recusing himself. Any other discussion on this issue? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That's I'm asking that we move B below D so that we can finish up on the two zoning ordinances and changes. So I'd like to go to C. If that's okay, and no objection. Thank you. Thank you,
second.
Aaron. No objection. All right. Zoning case 721AM-12, Premier Cooperative Incorporated. This is a request to amend the zoning map to change the designation from AG1 to B1 Rural Trade Center Zoning District to allow expansion for existing non-conforming grain elevator. The ZBA voted approval of this unanimously.
Move approval.
Second.
Whoops, I'm sorry.
Esri
first. Jeff second. Do we have any discussion on C? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. D, zoning case 723-AM-12, estate of John Burkett with co-executives Thomas Fiedler and Dennis Burkett. Request to amend the zoning map to change the designation from B3 Highway Business Zoning District to the B4 General Business Zoning District. Diane moves, second by Max. Any discussion on this? The ZBA also approved this unanimously. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're going to move B down, and this is the FY 2013 RPC County Planning Contract and Work Plan for approval. I'd like a motion on the floor, please. So move, Lorraine, second. Michael, did you second?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I thought you raised your hand there. Mr. Moore, Cameron, would you please step to the podium and give us a little bit of a background on the planning committee, on the planning of RPC?
Happy to do that. As you all are aware, we've been before you before on this issue. There were some changes that were made based on feedback from the county board, specifically the items related to county building code needs analysis and a building code cost-benefit analysis and recommendations were removed from the draft work plan, and substituted with that were some items that are sort of really required things in order to comply with both county and some state regulations regarding regulations with the state fire marshal for multifamily units, liquor licenses, et cetera, and then also some information-related tasks that would help make sure that county residents have information about natural resources management, conservation of woodlands and other habitats. So, you know, I'd be happy to try to answer any questions anybody may have about the draft work plan.
Thank you. And we have any questions or discussion? None? Okay. Well, Ms. Petrie.
I have a number of questions as I read over the plan. First one is the group that you just listed. Why are not those agencies doing this work rather than paying for it in a contract with RPC?
Actually, that might be a question, John, that you would be better able to answer.
Which agencies are you?
Well, the fire marshal rules, the forest preserve, things like that. Why is this additional work that we are putting in this contract.
Okay, regarding the fire marshal rules, we're actually going to revise this memo. The county's R&E licensing ordinance and liquor license ordinance states that all facilities shall be in compliance with the state fire marshal requirements, and yet it doesn't ask for a certification of that or any information about that whatsoever. So every year you approve liquor licenses for bars, you don't know if those facilities meet the state fire marshal requirements or not. And so during the preparation of the LRMP, we had recommended these policies so that in the future you would know whether, say, a bar meets the state fire marshal requirements for life safety. So it's no other requirements other than your own there. Regarding the, I think you were maybe referring to item 2013-15N, develop an information package regarding natural resource management guidelines. Again, we have no reason to believe that the Soil and Water Conservation District or the Forest Preserve District is needing anything, but the county, another part of this work plan, is to develop guidelines for management of natural resources as a requirement, a regulatory requirement in the zoning ordinance. And to go along with that, there was this policy that, well, why don't we at least prepare a handout to help people, you know, make these decisions that we think they should be making. So these are nothing more and nothing less than the county board's adopted policies. In some instances, they'll lead to regulations. In some instances, they'll simply lead to informative handouts.
So are these things your office cannot handle?
These are things that we do not have time to do. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. No further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Cameron. Our next issue is number E, five-year update to the Champaign County Solid Waste Management Plan 2007 update. Motion, please. We have to have a resolution on this. Mr. Keebler, Jan. Any discussion? Patsy.
Yes, I have some questions of Ms. Monte. I see she's here.
Thank you. She's here. She's at our beck and call.
Thank you. If you had had your druthers and you could have had anything in this plan, what items are missing that you would have liked to have seen in the plan?
Well, the purpose of this five-year update is to provide the Illinois EPA with information that they consider as minimally necessary to update the county's over 20-year-old solid waste management. Now, at this point in time, the county has neither the resources nor is it in the action items identified for the near term to achieve a comprehensive update of the Champaign County Solid Waste Management Plan. So what we have done for this required fourth five-year update is essentially to provide updated information in the sections of the report required by the Illinois EPA and to essentially carry forward previous recommendations. So what you have before you is the minimum amount of information required by the Illinois EPA. Essentially, no funds are available from the state to pursue any additional work on updates at this time. You may be interested in knowing that House Bill just recently was passed. I have the number which appointed a two-year task force to examine the state of this solid waste management stuff in Illinois comprehensively and provide recommendations about how to move forward at the county levels. So we'll be following that task force with great interest and looking for opportunities and input to that task force once it's assigned. I'll keep the county board updated on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. The last, F is for information only, public notice of Illinois EPA public comment period for proposed renewal of the Clean Air Act program, Guardian West and Flexengate Manufacturing in Urbana. Is there any discussion on that? Okay, we'll move forward. I'd like to propose the next motion be an omnibus motion for the entire G group, which is all interrelated. As you notice, 1 through 5 are all relating to the rural public transportation grants. And I would like Mr. Lloyd as a first. Thank you. Mr. Maxwell as a second. And if you'd like an update, we have our people here. I've discussed this with them, and they're absolutely elated as the result of what's gone on in the rural area. In fact, far exceeded their expectations, and I wish we had more money to get some more transportation, but we don't. But it's been an extraordinary two-year period. It's 2 year now, period. If you feel you'd like to hear from them, I'd be happy to bring them up. If not, we can just move forward on this motion. Mr. Schroeder.
Yeah, I have some questions.
I have some questions. Could you please? Thank you. Please introduce yourself when you get to the microphone.
Hi, my name is Sierra. I am the Human Service Transportation Plan Regional Coordinator, and I work with RPC in facilitating the quarterly Champaign County Rural Transportation Advisory Group meetings.
I'm Amy Marchant. I'm the CEO of Chris Healthy Aging Center, and most importantly, Chris Healthy.
Thank you. Obviously, it's the last few years have been very successful, and I applaud you on that. But I have some questions with the finances. In particular, I think the last time that it was discussed here on county board level was I asked a question if, and I haven't looked at the website. At the time when I asked the question, they were not accessible. Are the finances of Chris available on the website now?
Yes, sir. We're completely compliant with all the things. I think at the time that you were doing it, we were developing the website. The Mass Transit District was actually formed over a year ago, so this is the timeline to get that established.
Okay. I see that the state grant is, I'm looking at page 104 on my board packet. And on the funding, the very, very last paragraph, it states that the state kicks in $525,140 and change. And the last time I think I asked, I think the last time we saw numbers, the state was not up to, they were behind in their payments. Where are we at today with the state?
The state owes Chris.
See, I think the last time somebody was here, it was like $167,000. So now it's $500,000 now?
But we do have some payments coming, so it's worked out, but it is something that the Chris Rural Mass Transit Board takes a liability for and owes the money from a bank to cover the costs, cover the delayed funding, which is what most social service agencies do.
Any word yet on how much you're going to receive and when?
Can you better speak to that? Right now, we've just been told that the priority has been when you submitted it, and based on a certain level, is how it gets paid out first. From the state, they just say, keep an eye out for the comptroller's office. All paperwork has been submitted. For the feds, because the federal and the state are submitted at the same time frame, with the federal, it takes about 4 weeks before the money is actually cut. And so it does have a lot of signatures, but really there is no good time frame that's known of when they'll pay, but they said they're working through the backlog.
well, with a debtor state that we live in. That's what concerns me. It's a half million. It was 167,000. Now it's a half million. It's grown exponentially. I think it's going to continue to grow, and I think what bothers me is who's going to be left on the hook for these bills. That's what bothers me, and I think it's going to be the county. That really concerns me.
In a governmental agreement, that actually is referenced in the intergovernmental agreement that Chris is responsible for the actual credit, the line of credit that covers cost and reimbursement.
But I mean, we're authorizing grants and things, so this county board is also liable to a certain degree also, I would assume.
As the pass-through, as the grantee, we are liable, as we are always, for compliance and submitting the appropriate paperwork. But for the actual line of credit, Chris is actually on the hook.
And that's what really bothers me. Not so much that what I just stated, but that I think this is only good and bad for Chris because of the state the way they are. It's not going to get better with the same people running the state. It's still going to be a disaster. And it really concerns me because this thing's 2 years up and running. I've seen Pyatt Train running. I know they're going to be the same boat, too. I've seen the other counties around that I've driven into and seen the mass transit out in rural areas, and they're all going to be in the same boat. This thing's going to come crashing down. It really bothers me. Thank you for answering.
I appreciate it.
Stan, and then Astrid. And I somewhat agree with John, but I think we've had this discussion, and it was brought up at first, and I give Amy and her staff a lot of credit. I think that if we got to that point, when I sat in some of the meetings, because I serve on that committee, I think Amy and those would do just by us. They're not in it just to keep it rolling because they can. They make good, firm decisions, and they keep, as far as an agency that I can see, they do very well at making sure the money's well spent and collected, and like them taking that line of credit out. And to their credit, they've ran this type of stuff before. When you say 2 years, they have a history of this. So they can read the tea leaves probably as good as we can, which is probably not at all.
Astrid, microphone, please. Thank you.
How many trips have you provided in the past year?
Well, thank you for asking. I'm very proud to tell you that we've provided 17,650 trips since February 15, 2011. We serve over 830 residents a month for those trips.
Let me just follow up with where Astrid was going. 17,000 this year, how did that compare to your projections for the year?
We actually anticipated serving 50 people a day, and we are topping that out, sometimes doubling that. And so but our average number of rides a day is around 70 to 80. But our goal was after 2 years to give 50 rides a day. So you can see that just in the first 4 or 5 months, we were exceeding what we hope to exceed in 2 years tonight. So it's not really Chris, I shouldn't say that, it's me that's making that happen.
And it's great that you're filling that need. What are your projections for next year? Did I see 16,000 rides, or am I wrong on that?
Yeah, and that's correct. And really, the next level is continue to teach the riders that this is not a taxi service. This is a bus service that you have to share rides with. And so to continue to fill the bus and be patient, let us fill a bus before we move into town. And rather well, but it's a training process for the rural rider versus a metro in the community in town riders.
What challenges are you guys seeing besides the fact, obviously, that the state isn't paying you?
Equipment, vehicles, having enough vehicles to provide the service, capital expenses, it takes quite a few years. The project in Vermilion County that we've been overseeing for a quarter of a century has taken that long to get 27 or 28 vehicles. So it really is a matter of time and just being in the right place at the right time and being very assertive when funding opportunities come along to access funding to get more vehicles so we can get more rides. Because we have the money to pay drivers, but we don't have enough vehicles to the drivers.
It sounds like you expect ridership to be fairly flat. So what you're saying is limiting that basically is capital for the vehicles. Is that correct? Okay, thank you.
Chris?
I was just curious. You said your ridership significantly exceeded your initial projections. To what would you attribute that? Is it specific groups of people that are using it that you didn't know would use it, or specific destinations that you weren't aware people would want to go to? I mean, can you give us an idea, or is it just essentially the people who you thought, but more of them?
Well, really looking at other communities and watching how their ridership grew over the years, and Champaign County is a little more trendy than the average Illinois county, and so the concept of taking a bus sunk in a lot faster with the rural riders in this county as compared to Iroquois or Ford or Inland or what other county that we might have compared our projections with.
Well, I admit I was to some extent a skeptic when I looked at the initial numbers, but I think it's clear that you've been very successful with this. I mean, I think there was an initial sort of shock at the county level in terms of how much money was going in compared to how much you were generating from fares. This is obviously a service that is, you know, heavily subsidized. I mean, it's a public service provided by the state and the feds to ensure that a population that wouldn't otherwise have access to transportation does. And I think if we look at it in that context and look at the efficiency with which you've taken that state and federal money and turned it into 17,000 rides, I think that's pretty impressive. So thank you.
Lloyd?
Let's not miss it. I don't see a county makeup fee, is it?
A county makeup fee?
Yeah.
You mean the county paying part of this?
Yeah.
There's no cost to the county.
Okay.
No cost.
Okay.
Yeah. Jan and Pat. Jan?
Well, having served almost my full 12 years on the mental health board as a liaison from this county board, over that period of time, any survey we ever did or having agencies filling out any kind of form, transportation was always listed as one of those problems that, you know, needed some attention. So maybe I'm somewhat surprised at your numbers, but yet on the other hand, I'm not, because that's always been one of the main problems with programs, that transportation was needed. So I applaud you for what you're doing.
Patsy was next, then Rocket. Is there anyone else who hasn't been heard besides Patsy? Okay, Patsy, go right ahead, please.
Thank you. A couple of comments, and looking at this maybe through a different lens. I am the liaison to this group, and I do appreciate John's concerns and the financial status in the state. However, because I am an urban planner, I think this tells us a huge story about what we should be thinking about in relationship to our planning within the county and the needs. And I'm not surprised at all at the numbers, because we know when we do our studies in transportation planning that the people out in the rural area are an aging population, and these people need transportation. And as a civil society, we need to be starting out to figure out how we are going to do this and support it. And mass transit is a subsidized means of transportation. So for our concerns about how we're going to support this is important. However, we need to be thinking about that we are an aging population, and it's better to be supplying mass transit than having these people on the road in cars and other issues. So I do hope as we move along and if things get tight that my fellow county board members will look at it as a long-term solution of how we keep mobility for our society.
Thanks, Patrick. Thank you. Rocket.
One more, hopefully, quick question. Looking at your service area in northern Champaign County, where are your rides mainly originating from?
The majority of our rides are the Rantoul area. You are the steady person for the mass.
The majority is definitely in Rantoul, but the general public service actually covers Gifford, Ludlow, and Thomasboro as well. And there are increasing in rider numbers there. It's just, you know, the populations are smaller.
So yeah. Well, the population's mainly going to be in Rantoul for that. Are these rides disproportionately to population coming from Rantoul, or is it just because Rantoul has maybe 75% of that population?
It's not disproportionate when you look at the transit-dependent population, when you look at the income factors, as well as age and disability. Veterans are also a big group that comes from our area, so it's just one of the reality of the demographics and the populations within that. I will say countywide, Chris is providing senior rides as well, and we're seeing that really skyrocket as well.
Okay, thank you, ladies. Any further discussion on these items? All in favor, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Monthly reports, you have two on your desk for June and July. Please take them with you. Other business, I don't have any. Designation on the consent agenda, I have A, C, D. What's that? Not A, sorry. C, D, E, and G. And since we have nothing on policy and Pius is gone, I have... We have another closed session going. Other business, approval of closed session minutes, June 5th, 2012.
So moved.
So moved. Mr. Ralph, second. We're going to see.
Give me 90
stand. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Call for adjournment?
Aye.
So moved. Sign you done. Aye.